Welcome, dog moms and dads, to our show where we discuss the everyday joys and challenges of pet parenting. I'm your host, Jen.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is the Dog Mom Podcast presented by Sippy Paws.
Can we just talk about how I'm not wearing black today, too? Like, I feel like this is a first. This is notable for me. Just throwing that out.
Welcome to the pink club.
Oh, that's right. You're wearing pink, too. We match.
I mean, it's a blush. I mean, it's that a mauve. That
matches, too. Right? Right? So. It matches. For National Drink Wine Day. It's on brand. I'm excited for today. I'm really excited for our guest today. This is one it's been in the works for a little while, and we didn't brave the winter storms, but our guest braved the winter storms to be here today. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about who our guest is?
Well, I'll probably let her give the official rundown, but chances are, if you watch certain shows on Netflix, Queer Eye, you've seen her dog.
Interesting.
We have Brulee's mom on today, also known as Michelle Silva.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's bring her in. All right, guys. So she has traveled the world. She is a producer behind some of your favorite TV shows. Hello, Queer Eye. We see you. More importantly, she is a dog mom and a rescue advocate. And we are so excited to welcome Michelle Silva to Dog Mom Podcast. Hi.
Hi, guys. I am really happy to be here. Dogs are pretty much my favorite thing. So
we are
anytime somebody wants to talk about dogs, let's do it.
Right. We are stoked. Zippy Paws was a fan of Brulee for the longest time. I don't know if our company's a boy or a girl, but I'm going to say fangirling over one of your first pups. And
gender neutral. Gender neutral.
There you go.
Everyone is welcome. Yeah.
But you've actually managed to do, in my opinion, one of the hardest things there is, and you channeled the anguish of losing Brulee, your heart dog, into a rescue effort that I would venture to say is definitely worthy of his legacy.
Oh, thank you. It was a total accident. I've been very open about Brulee. Brulee was a pet store puppy. I know you could come at me with the pitchforks. It's a long, long time ago, 12 or 13 years ago at this point. And I got him at a pet store in New York. And I always felt a little bit guilty about that because I feel like I got lucky. Brulee was pretty healthy throughout his life. And, people would ask where I get him and what breeder. And I would whisper like, oh, pet store, don't do that. And then, I was always like sort of envious of the rescue dogs, but I never thought you could rescue bulldogs. Hear bulldogs, like they already have health problems as is. And if you have to rescue one, it's going to have health problems and skin problems and whatnot. And then I found road dogs. Literally when Brulee died, I was scrolling through Instagram like the next day and saw that they needed a foster for Morton Cadbury. And I blindly sent a message and was like, I'll do it. And like, that's what it was. Like I just, pure grief, pure not thinking, like probably not the smartest decision I ever made, but turned out to be the best decision. So rescuing was one of those things that I just sort of jumped full force into and never looked back.
I love it.
I think that's super interesting because I think we all grieve for our dogs differently. And I remember when I lost my dog about 4 years ago, I just couldn't think about dogs at all. I just couldn't do it. And it's just so interesting that, you just jump right back in, you open your heart again and,
open another
my
dog.
My childhood dog, Duke, we had a German Shepherd, died in 1994. My mother still, his birthday was February 4th, will still text me like, I miss Duke today. And like, 1994. Yeah. And she's never gotten another dog. I mean, Brulee was like her grand dog, she helps out with my sister's dogs. But yeah, I get it. Like some people can't like fathom going through it again. For me, it was just like, I can't imagine a life without a dog. And when I got Morton, I 100% was like, who is this imposter? Where's my dog? You know, like I had all these thoughts and feelings of like, what did I just do? Who are you? You're not Brulee. I want my dog back. I can't do this. And so I rode that roller coaster. And then I found him the most amazing home, and now they're lifelong friends. And then I just kind of accidentally kept saying yes. And then I got JoJo. but yeah, a lot of people ask me that, like, when did you know, or how do you know if it's too soon or not soon enough? And for me, it worked to just do it. Just do it, jump right in, get another dog, get into the routine. But that's also saying, like, I also knew it wasn't time for me to adopt yet, because fostering was really working for me. It was a good, like, I love fostering because I call it rent a dog. You know, he's like, you're doing a good thing, and you're like seeing if this is a good fit. It's like dating, you know? And I just was like, okay, I'm not ready for another dog. I'm not ready for you. I'm not ready for you. And then, you know, the third foster was Ollie.
Oh, I'm excited to get into that story. I think it's interesting too, because you guys, I feel like I'm kind of falling in the middle of you and Jen in terms of how I grieved the loss of my pup Stella. We had an almost year battle with cancer for her. So it went, you know, chemotherapy appointments. We were doing urgent care almost every week. And it, when she finally died, there was this moment of, well, what the hell do I do now? Like, I'm so used to taking care of an animal, but I wasn't ready to get a dog. So I ended up with a cat. And that started the circus brigade of the four animals I now have. But there was a need, but like, I feel like both of you, honestly, I was definitely not ready for another dog. And it's funny that you say, you know, who is this dog in my house? Because that's what I was worried about. Even when I adopted Bjorn, my puppy, or my dog now, that was years and years later. And I was still worried, like, am I going to like this dog? Am I going to just compare him to Stella? And, you know, and to your point, like, when you find the right dog, everything works out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. I mean, even down to like, you poop funny. Like, these aren't Brulee's poops. I don't pick up your poop. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, your breath smells different. And it is. It's there. I think we get into this routine with one dog and we forget that not every dog is the same. And that's the beauty of it though, too. It's sad, but it's also the beauty of it.
And even when I had Ollie, it took me a couple months before I was like, oh, I love you. And I love you in like in a totally different way. And I even had a good friend of mine. She was like, you know, I kind of worried, like, I didn't want to say anything, but I wasn't sure you really liked him. And I was like, no, I always loved Ollie, but it was different, you know? And it's just so different when you lose like your soul animal, like you said. I mean, my heart dog, my soul animal. And then I loved him, but I loved him in a different way. And then it took time. It took time for me to realize, oh, I can't, you know, your heart expands. I just love him in a completely different way as Brulee. I mean, he's a totally different dog.
And I think going through that grieving process and getting other dogs, I think it really helps you to learn that, like, you can love multiple dogs, but in the beginning, it seems so impossible. Like, I was like, I can't get another dog because there's no way that I'm going to love the new dog as much as I did my old dog. Because we had such a connection. But then, you know, I met my fiance, or then boyfriend, now husband. Why did I call him fiance?
Well done.
But he brought his dog over, and, you know, it was just like love at first sight. And, you know, I really took him in. I'm stepmom. And then now we have our new puppy, Birdie, and she and I are like on the same wavelength. So it's just, you love your dogs differently, you know, and it's quite amazing how we can just adapt to that. And, you know, and now I don't know if I would go through the whole process like I did before when I lost my first dog, where I waited, I didn't get a new dog. I think now having two dogs, I can't imagine having one dog again. So I think I'm just going to have, I think two is my magic number.
I know my aunt and uncle did that growing up. They always had boxers, and at any given time, you know, they would have like two or three. Mm-hmm. And so then that transition is a little bit different. It doesn't necessarily make it easier or better. It's just different. And right. I also think it's important for me, and what I try to tell people when they ask me, like, Bruley was my soul dog. And like, I truly think that that doesn't happen with every dog. And it doesn't mean I don't love Oli. Oli and I have a totally different relationship, but like, it's okay that it's not a repeat of Bruley. You know what I mean? Like, that was something so special and so unique. And I don't need to try to repeat it. Like, I think that's where people get in trouble when their dog passes and then they think they have to find that again. And like, you can't fathom finding that again. And what am I supposed to do? And it's like, no. That was that. Like, leave that in that special place. And then when you can, for me, it was 24 hours later, not necessarily the smartest or most rational thing. And for others, you know, maybe like my mom, you know, takes 30 years or something. Yeah. You just open your heart a little and you kind of find that crack where another dog sneaks in and steals your heart.
Ugh. So I guess for our listeners that aren't necessarily familiar with your story, I would love to have you, you know, share a little bit more about yourself, about Bruley, who we just keep talking about. And then we kind of already started delving into your newest pup, but tell them everything.
Sure. I'm a TV producer. I work primarily in unscripted, which is a fancy way of saying reality television. I worked on all sorts of shows. I was with ABC for years. I was very close to the Bachelor franchise. I've done Dancing with the Stars. I'm doing a show right now for National Geographic with Bobby Bones that just got announced. But I worked on a little show called Queer Eye. I did the Kansas City seasons, which were season 3 and 4. And I live in LA. And when I got the call for the job, they said, you know, are you willing to go to Kansas City for 5 months? And I said, yes, I'm bringing my dog. Normally we don't get to bring our dogs on the road, but Bruley was 9, I think, at that point. And I didn't want to be away from him for 5 months. So I packed up my car. I drove east to Kansas City. Actually with my best friend, Alan, who is also a producer and also has a French bulldog. So little known secret, there were two French bulldogs on that set.
I love it.
Steve, he was a brindle. Anyway, so I started bringing Bruley to work. And the next thing I knew, he wandered into the loft and Jen Lane, our executive producer, said, I'm putting him in the show. Are you okay with that?
I love it.
Yeah. So it was kind of a new little fun twist to the show that he became the loft dog. And, you know, Bruley was not a trained set dog. So there are episodes that he appears in more and there's episodes where he appears in less, because it truly was like, if he was in the mood, he would walk in. On top of not being a trained set dog, he's a French bulldog with a lot of attitude. So he would wander in and out of scenes. It would depend if the guys were holding food in their hands, you know, he'd be around more. He'd fart a lot. He'd shed a lot and art department would have to come in and like clean the couch. And, you know, Michelle, you got to keep Bruley off the couch. I'm like, tell him that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what you think I'm going to do.
Yeah. And so so we shot 2 seasons and then all of a sudden, Little Brew Man was on Netflix. My little baby became a star.
I love those scenes. So, he was so cute.
He was the best. And so I started an Instagram account. It was actually Karamo. We were shooting a scene one day and he's like, you know, you're going to have to start an Instagram. Like, I don't know. I'm so behind the scenes and I was so focused on my job. I was like, really? You think people will follow him? And then, that first weekend, the show premiered. I think it was like, wouldn't it be fun if we had like 10,000 followers by the end of the weekend? And I think we were at like 50.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But I will say what was really hard was I felt like I had this big secret because we were starting to get invited to things pre-pandemic, obviously, at the good old days. We were starting to get invited to events and people would want Bruley to make appearances. And meanwhile, I have Brew, who is diagnosed with cardiomyopathy and he has heart problems and he's essentially dying. Yeah. So it was a very strange kind of trajectory at that time. I have this dog fluencer that's taking off, but I'm also losing him. And yeah. like you, running him to vet appointments and keeping him on oxygen and just trying to keep him comfortable.
It's exhausting. It is mentally and physically draining because you're worried, you're worrying yourself sick. It's tiresome. And yeah, then you have to, you know, it's, you've either got the people that are wanting him to come to appearances or you've got the other half of the world that's like, well, it's a dog, like calm down. And it's, so you're balancing so much. I totally get that. I mean, my dog was not a famous influencer, but
no,
I get
but
it.
Like, yeah, you're just, you know, you're trying to like, just live your, also your normal life. And then, you know, I'm literally running to the vet and you're just like, here, take all my money. Let's like, oh, yeah. Emotionally, physically, financially. Hello. Yeah. You're yeah. just like, oh, what do you need? Do you want, here's this credit card and that credit card and just charge it up.
Yeah. Just, I'll take out another loan. Sure. You want to give me that care credit card? Just like, let's do it.
Yeah. So I think I signed up for all those things. And then, yeah. But yeah. So he was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, which the vet started to suspect was because he was on a grain-free diet.
Really?
Yeah. Mm, it was right around the same time that the FDA came out and said that, you know, they released like the 16 brands of dog food that now all of a sudden grain-free is bad. Who knew? But you know, they tested his taurine levels and they were normal. So who knows? But yeah, it wound up being, I got to give it to his vet. She said, probably 4 to 10 months, and he died 9.5 months into his diagnosis. Yeah. Yeah. And I kept it to myself for a couple of days. Just as you do, you know, I just didn't know how or what to say. And then I posted it online, and then all of a sudden it's like on CNN and People and all these places, which was tough, you know, cause then you're like reliving the grief of it all. But for me, it was like, you know, Brulee, people always ask me, did you know Brulee was famous or like going to be famous or something like that? I'm like, well, to me, he always was. Like, he was hilarious and amazing and special, but I just didn't think it was any different than any other dog owner. Like, everyone thinks their dog is amazing.
Yeah.
But then he did it, you know, and then he did it. He became a star.
I'm still obsessed with him. I am not ashamed to admit that. I mean, I follow every rescue dog that you have at this point, but I was devastated when Brulee passed. We're going to talk about another sweetheart in a little bit here, but yeah, like the impact that the animals have on people is just crazy.
I couldn't believe how many people really connected with him in such short little blips on screen. Yeah. But I mean, he was the best. Like
he touched a lot of people.
He was just pure good. And I'm not saying like just him. I mean, dogs and dogs like him, they're just pure good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what they bring to this world. They're just, and maybe we bred them to be that way. I don't know, but I'm sure glad our ancestors did that.
Right. Right. So you have a new pup though. So you are I don't want to say still a dog mom. I feel like you're always a dog mom, even if you've lost a pup, but you are a new dog mom once again.
Yes. So yeah. So Brulee passed away in September of, oh my gosh, is it 2018 at this? No, 2019. The time go where, what's time?
I want to say 2019, I think, cause I don't think I was with Zippy Paws in 2018.
Okay. Maybe. That's terrible. Am I a terrible dogma? To me, I'm just, well, I don't even know. Where's this? It was March yesterday. It's March again tomorrow. Like this last year has thrown everything.
I do that with when Stella passed, and I have to think about it in relation to when I met Nico, because I didn't have her when I was with him. And I was like, okay, wait, we've been together for this long. So I mean, you're not a bad dogma.
Yeah. September 28th. I mean, that I remember, that day I'll never forget. September 28th, 2019. Yeah. So, okay. 2 days later, I got Morty, fostered him for a couple weeks. Then I got Jojo, fostered him for a couple weeks. And then my third foster, Brew Crew number 3, was this little black and white Frenchie that came from China, from the meat trade. So Road Dogs also partners with the Slaughterhouse Survivors. They are these incredible women that live and work in China and run a dog rescue in China, rescuing dogs from the meat trade. and they partner with rescues all around the US, a couple in Europe, I think Canada as well. Don't quote me on that, but and the rescues here sponsor the dogs and they get them over here. So my boyfriend and I said yes to our third foster. We went to LAX. You know, you wait, it's the cutest thing. They bring them out on these crates and they've been in there for, you know, 24 to 36 hours or something. That seems so inhumane. But then when you think about the big picture, it's amazing. And they just like, they open the little crate and this little black and white weird Frenchie came out smelling like poop. And his name was Charlie Blue at the time. And we brought him home and we, you know, I was not, like I said, like I was not going into this thinking I'm going to adopt. I was still grieving Brulee. I was helping out, was fostering. I was getting my toes wet again. And I mean, we just fell head over heels for him. He's the little weirdest little thing we've ever seen. He started playing with this avocado toy that we love very much that somebody sent us. And, so I popped in avocado into Google Translate into Chinese, and it sounds something like Oli, which I have since asked a lot of friends that speak both Cantonese and Mandarin. And they're like, that's not a thing. That's not the word at all. Like Google, you're wrong, but we thought it was cute. So that's where his name Oli comes from.
No. Oh my
that's
God.
That's very cute.
I love that.
But
story.
I know for sure, I don't speak Cantonese, but I know in Mandarin, that's not what avocado is.
No. Like I almost want to play it for you guys because I swear I'm not crazy. I'm gonna find it. Google Translate.
I love it. I feel like now we have some teeny tiny little connection to him.
I love it. Okay avocado.
Oh, I know what it is. It's a different word. It's a different name for avocado. It means alligator pear. Cause it kind of is like the skin is like an alligator and the shape of it is like a pear. So it's called Oli.
See?
Yes.
So you're not crazy.
You're not crazy.
We thought it was avocado. We trusted this little known company called Google.
You're not wrong. This is absolutely 100% correct. Cause there's different names for like the same.
Wait, you said thing, alligator right? Pear? I named my dog Alligator Pear.
Yes, that's the direct translation.
That's my new favorite Oli. Story ever.
Do you hear it? Yeah, okay.
Yes, yeah.
Oli. Well, very that cute. Tracks that he's an alligator pear.
He's an alligator pear. You can call him that now.
He is the strangest, weirdest. I can't even pretend that he is halfway normal. Like he's just a little off.
Alligator pear. That's my new favorite
alligator
thing.
Pear. That's what you think. Like you thought you were getting an avocado and you got an alligator pear. That's what happened. I thought I was getting a French bulldog and I got an Oli.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Tell us about some of his quirks. Like what does he like to do and what makes him so weird?
I post on Instagram a lot, his creeping. So he creeps. We spend part time at the beach. We have a beach house. And thanks to the pandemic, we've been able to spend a lot of time there. And so when he sees a dog, big, small, large, anything intimidating, he gets real low and he starts army crawling and he creeps. But the funny thing is he'll do it when he's like 100 yards away. The dogs don't even see him. He's alone on the beach and he just gets real low and starts creeping like no one sees him.
Oh my God. Amazing.
You're like, bro, everyone sees you. And a lot of times other dogs will just look at him and be like, what?
What's he doing?
Yeah, I actually, another story. So he got kicked out of doggy daycare. Got expelled from doggy daycare.
What did he do?
He incited a riot. true story. So my boyfriend and I, we both also work on Naked and Afraid. So it's rare that we're both traveling at the same time, but I think we were both traveling or he was in post, I don't know. So we had to bring him to doggy daycare for a little bit. And it was one of those cute daycares that, you know, you can go online and watch the webcam. And they told us, they called us one day and they're like, yeah, he's in isolation from now on. We reviewed the footage he incited a riot. He's not allowed here anymore.
Oh my God, no.
Oh yeah, 100%. So one of the trainers, we took him to a different doggy daycare and they did like an observation with him. And they told us that he doesn't pick up on other dogs' cues. Like other dog, he'll start playing and then other dogs will give doggy signals of like, hey, you're playing too rough. Or like, mm-hmm. no, you weirdo, I'm not into this.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't. And so he goes harder and harder and harder. And then he incited a riot.
I wonder if it's because he didn't have that group socialization growing up, right? Like if he's part of the meat trade, they're obviously treated very different than we treat our animals out here. That's
poor thing. Well, I always wonder like, so one of the questions I had when I got him was how in the hell does a purebred French bulldog wind up in the meat trade? And so some of the things I've learned since I've been involved with the group is first of all, as far as I understand in China, 8 weeks can sometimes be too old to sell as a puppy. So here we don't take our dogs away from their mother until they're 8 weeks old. There they can be taken away a lot sooner, especially if they're just going to be sold off for meat. So maybe he was taken away from his mother too early and like, you know, didn't get all the nutrients and not all there, but also if he's an unfashionable color. So he's black and white. He's not one of the trendy, you know, pretty blue dogs, which don't even get me started on trendy bulldog colors. Like let's not mutate them any more than we need to. But yeah, so maybe he was an unfashionable color. So who knows? Maybe he was taken away from his mother too young. Maybe he was, kept in isolation. And it's just like like you said, he just wasn't socialized right.
He just wanted riot to play. I can't.
Yeah, he really just wants to play. Like every dog he meets, he wants to play, but he doesn't get it when other dogs say no.
Well, you can just borrow Bjorn as a test subject because the hell he put us through when he was teething, like just needs to come back on him sevenfold. So just put him out there, let him chew on Bjorn for a little bit. Like I will not have at it. Like, bye.
What kind of dog is Bjorn?
Bjorn is we think he is a golden shepherd. We know his mom was a golden retriever, but he looks nothing like you would think. He's black. He looks like a golden retriever German shepherd mix. So he's black with floppy. He looks like a black golden retriever, I would say, with like a pointier nose. He's a mutt. He looks like a bear. We named him Bjorn because he looked like a little bear cub, but he's love of my life and bane of my existence.
Oh, isn't that what they should be?
Yep. Yep.
To me, that's a perfect dog.
Well,
I love you so much, I want to kill you.
Yep.
But I want to kill you so much, I love you.
Well, we rescued our second pup during the pandemic. And bless her little heart, she was a rescue dog from Tijuana, who I don't know if she had never been socialized or if she had a bad experience, but she was just petrified of everything. No eye contact, very little communication. She understood Spanish, which helped us out a lot. But she's since come out of her shell, but bless her little heart, Bjorn just terrorizes her sometimes. She's just started, we've had her for about 6 months, and she has just started getting comfortable playing. But up until that point, Bjorn would walk up to her and just shove toys in her face or like just bite. He's like, I don't understand why this girl doesn't want to play. So like, anytime someone has a dog that's either rough or so hyper, I'm just like, take Bjorn. This is karma. He'll just get it out on my dog. He'll be fine.
Send him our way because I have a little avocado or alligator pear that will torture him.
I love that so much.
I love that I finally know what it is. Yes, nobody's ever explained to me it's an alligator pear. That's incredible.
But it actually makes sense when you actually look at an avocado. It's kind of the shape of a pear and it's got like crinkly like skin.
Yeah, I'm for it.
It's pretty genius. I really support it. Well, I don't know what it is about me. Like I can't name my dog a normal name because Brulee was a play on creme brulee. And then, that's where Brulee comes from. And it's funny, a lot of times I get messages now like, can I name my dog Brulee? And I'm like, yes, I don't own that name. Do it. And I think Martha Stewart has a Frenchie named Brulee now. I'm like, just know, Martha, where that came from.
Right? Like, we're on to you.
Yeah. And he's cream colored. Weird. I'm just kidding, Martha Stewart, if you're listening. I love you.
You're listening, Martha Stewart.
Well, Anthony is good friends with her. So, Aunt, if you're listening to this, tell Martha, we it's cool. I'll bring Ollie.
Like, okay, let's just tell Martha this.
Yeah, right.
This is how me and Martha communicate.
Yeah.
Through Dog Mom Podcast.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. Listen, weirder things have happened. My dog wound up on Netflix. I was just at work one day and then my dog wound up on Netflix.
I mean, that's true. So, yeah. But you do seem to have a pretty substantial love of Frenchies, right? Are there, what do you love about them? Have you always loved them? Like, because you said that you're-
I've thought about this a lot.
Oh, I love it.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, why? Like, they fart, they snort, they're weird. My childhood dogs, I grew up with a German Shepherd and a Golden Retriever. My grandparents always had Boston Terriers. So I feel like that's probably where I got like the first, you know, snorty dog experience. And then I went to NYU and I was living in New York City. I think I always had a thing for English bulldogs growing up. I don't know. I just thought they were super cute, had no experience with them. And then, you know, in the early 2000s, I started seeing Frenchies all around New York City. And so they kind of started getting popular. And I really love pigs. I don't know. I love pigs. I think I always like pigs, pugs, Boston Terriers, bulldogs. And then, you know, I started to see Frenchies everywhere. I was living on a 6-floor walk-up that I was not supposed to have a dog in. You know, things you do when you're 24. You're right. Like, oh, it's fine. I'll just sneak him in my jacket every day.
They'll never know.
Yeah. Cut to 3 months later, my landlord being like, you have a dog. We know. Like, but So I, living in a 6-floor walk-up, I knew I couldn't have an English bulldog because my plan was to smuggle him in and out of my jacket every day. And then
that would have been heavy.
I had, oh yeah. A Frenchie was heavy. Like, what was I thinking? It was, you know, early 20s rationale. So I would go to this pet store in the West Village. It's still there. City Pups. Again, don't come after me with the pitchforks. I don't support pet stores anymore. I know better. And plus, look, you can get a rescue dog, Frenchies. I would go to this pet store all the time and like play with the Frenchies, and they were always so cute, and just, you know, would always put them back and not think much of it. And then one day in May, it was a rainy day. I was on the way to a birthday party, had a drunk brunch in the West Village and popped in this pet store, and they put Brulee in my arms. And it was, I mean, you just know, it was like, well, you're coming home with me. He chose me because it wasn't like, oh, you went to a pet store and you found a cute puppy. I'm like, yeah, I did that like on the reg.
Yeah.
I held a million French bulldogs. So then it kicked off with Brulee for me. There's just something so special about them. They're hilarious. Like, they are so funny to me.
They have so much personality.
So much personality. And I feel like I'm a Scorpio. I'm just like kind of naturally a little bit dark and emo. And so I just like naturally don't gravitate into like being the most positive all the time. And so to have this like a little comedian that just cracks me up all the time, like French bulldogs bring a lightness to my life.
I love that.
That's what I think. I think if I psychoanalyze myself enough.
And I think like dogs choose us, like specific dogs choose us, but also the breeds too, right? Like, I just feel a special connection with Golden Retrievers that I don't feel with other dogs. Like, I love other dogs, and I think I have like top 10, you know, breeds, and I would love to get one of each, but I think what just like draws me to them are just Golden Retrievers, and I can't really explain why. They just do. So
I thought after Brulee died, there was no way I was going to be able to have another Frenchie. You know, it was like, that was it. He's one of a kind. I'm done. And then when he died, I was like, I can't not have a French bulldog. I can't be walking down the street and see French bulldogs and be like, oh, I was a French bulldog owner. No, no, no. That's true. A French bulldog owner.
I am French bulldog owner.
But I'm so with you. Like, I have top 10 breeds. Would I love to have a St. Bernard? Yes. Do I live in the Swiss Alps? No. No. Yeah. my sister rescues golden retrievers. She's on, I think, foster number 29. I love goldens. Goldens are amazing. It's also a lot of hair, a lot of exercise.
Every time I turn around, like trying to pick off like the golden retriever hairs from my lips that stick onto my like lipstick.
I have at my place down in Venice, my roommate has an Australian Shepherd, and I was just in Nashville for a shoot. And literally I'm like getting dressed in the morning and I'm pulling Aussie hair off of me. I'm like, I brought it to Nashville with me.
Yeah.
Love Australian Shepherds. Do I want one full time? No, I have one part time and it's great.
I don't know what that says about me then. If we're talking about dogs that we naturally gravitate towards, because that means like just garbage animals in general, almost every animal. No, almost. I love it. Almost every animal we've rescued between the two of us, between Nico and I, has been like, there's some, like my cat, who is my cat, the girl cat, is just, she's got a clipped ear. She was broken when we got her. She had ear mites, mouth infection, underweight. She's only 6 pounds now. So you can imagine what an underweight 6 pound cat looks like. And then our little boy, our boy cat Poe, my husband found him on the sidewalk. His eyes were closed, couldn't, like had mange, was a hot mess.
So you're heroes is what you're saying.
No. No, we collect broken things.
Hello, who else is going to take them in?
I mean, to be fair, it's not like everyone has this ideal of what they look like. They're all beautiful. I think they're lovely looking animals, but yeah, they didn't start out that way. But I do gravitate towards like old, mangy, broken, messed up animals.
The world needs more of you. Honestly, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong.
But I do. I mean, so.
Yeah, I love all dogs. I mean, there's certainly dogs where I'm like, not for me, but you're cute. I don't do well with like little fluffy things.
That's how I always felt like that until I started working at Zippy Paws. Our web developer, Ken, has two of the cutest freaking little dogs. And it's hilarious because one of them hates Bjorn, and it's like my favorite. It's my favorite villain plot twist. And Bjorn is definitely the villain in that story. But I think they're probably two of the only really small dogs. We have a couple in our office that I've had really good experiences with. But outside of the office, I see them outside and I'm like, oh, that's cute for a rat.
Like, one of my best friends was actually my dog walker. And she was Brulee's dog walker. And I always used to ask her, like, because, you know, she'd have to walk big, small, little, fluffy, not fluffy. I'm like, do you just have ones that you're just like, not my favorite? She was like, yes, but you can't tell them that. And in the end, I do love all dogs. I would never, you know, turn down a dog or say no to a dog. But yeah, I think we all have our favorites. And I think it says more about us than it does about them.
Oh, absolutely.
And
for what it's worth, I know you keep apologizing. Don't feel too bad about getting him from a pet store. Like, we didn't know. A lot of people just didn't know. I think that we've all been guilty of that. And you only have to apologize if you don't learn from it, right? Like, we learned from it and we enacted change and we actually made a change. Like, at least in California, I don't know if it's nationwide, but I know in California, pet stores are no longer a thing. And that's one way to decrease puppy mills, which is how I actually got my golden retriever. She was rescued from a puppy mill. But I mean, I feel like never apologize for being aware, right? Like, I don't think that makes you a bad person.
I think I apologize because I did know at the time, like I was, you know, it wasn't
young and dumb.
Yeah. It wasn't like a secret that pet stores weren't great. And you know, it's tough because do I think everyone who works at a pet store is evil? No.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
You know, my eighth grade yearbook, you know, it's like, what do I want to be when I grow up? I wanted to be a dolphin trainer at SeaWorld. Well, then I saw Blackfish. Same. And I'm like, oh.
I can't. Yeah. That movie destroyed me. Blackfish was the worst.
It's awful. I mean, it's horrific. And I, you know, no, I don't support whales and dolphins in captivity now that I know. So now that I know, I don't support pet stores. And I'm only, I guess I'm only, what I'm sorry for is that a lot of people were like, oh, I want a dog like Brulee. And then, you know, they're also in New York City and they're walking by and it's kind of like, well, you did it. That's, you know, but now everyone, now I'll tell everyone like, and also I should say, I don't think all breeders are evil. I think that a lot of people get into breeding because they love dogs. And I think that there are a lot of decent breeders out there who really, really care where their dogs wind up.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a much bigger, yes, yes. And it's a much bigger conversation whether or not you believe in breeding animals at all. Yeah. But that, you know, that's kind of more philosophical. And if you do decide you want a purebred dog and you find a responsible breeder that really vets you and you vet them, you know?
Yeah. I think that's important to note too. Like it's truly different strokes for different folks. As long as you're doing it responsibly, you know, the same conversation can be said for people who are vegetarian versus people that eat meat. And it's just, as long as your heart is in the right place and you are making the smart moves for you as a person and as for your family. I mean, there are people that are allergic to dogs that really want a dog. If you need to get a golden doodle because you're you've got allergies, like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to demonize somebody for doing that, right? Like, it's it's a tough one, but I think it's inspirational that you are open about it and that you've learned from it and that you've essentially channeled that into the Brew Crew. And now you're like foster mom extraordinaire, which is something I could absolutely 1000% never do.
I may look like it only because I, you know, luckily have this platform, but there's people that do so much more than I do. Like, especially in the bulldog world, the foster parents that take the special needs pups, the spina bifida pups that need to have their bladders expressed 3 times a day by hand. I'm like, for me, it's like one of those things where it's like, of course I would do it if it was my dog. And it came to that, we'll get to Maisie in a sec, like all the things I was doing for her, but the people that seek that out and take in the wheelchair dogs and spina bifida dogs and that, I'm like, wow, there's a special place in heaven for you guys.
That's what I want to do. I want a huge farm and I want all the broken animals, all the ones with like 2 legs, like just come. I'll take you all. I'll put you in like designer collars. You'll have super like nice faux fur throws and no one will be able to tell you anything.
I love it.
That's one day when I am old and retired from Zippy Paws. When Jen is done with me, that's going to be
my
next step.
You're never going to retire.
not until you do. I'll retire and move next door.
Or we'll just all live on this compound that you're building. Yeah.
Right.
Huge farm. I
mean, it's going to be.
Believe it. You'll have the golden retrievers on your side. I'll have the bulldogs and you'll hear my side before you see it. You'll hear the like snorting and the farting.
And then we'll have all the weird wheelchair dogs. And
I was saying, mine will have all the handicap ramps. Oh, I love it. Well, when you guys want to move to Scandinavia and I'll get my farm in northern Sweden, that'll be the plan.
It's just really cold there.
I like the cold.
She's weird. She likes the cold and she likes the snow. So
I'll make an exception because now I have 2 people that want to go into this with me and I'll stay in California. I'll make the tough decision to stay in California.
Yeah, poor you. What jerks we are.
Right, right.
We really twisted your arm right there.
Yeah.
I know, I can feel it. So we've had a lot of good memories with your fosters, but I do want to get into Maisie. And I know there's a lot of good surrounding her as well. But I personally get teary-eyed thinking about her story, but I'd love to hear more about her. And I know our followers would too.
Oh, Maisie Moo. Gosh, where do I even start? So yeah, I mean, we were continuing to foster. So I had a couple dogs once we adopted Oli, we had a couple dogs, Tucker and Dexter. And then I got a message with just her little picture, you know, and it was this Merle English bulldog puppy, that said she had pneumonia and asked if I wanted to take her in. And yes. Yes, I will take in this adorable blue-eyed Merle puppy. So I went and picked her up, and she was just a snot monster, just like green snot and crust, and her little paws were a disaster, and they were crusty. And I don't know much about where she came from. I know that she came from a breeder in Riverside. She was 9 weeks old and she was sick. She was just really, really sick. But we took her to the vet, you know, we kept going back to the vet and her pneumonia started to clear up. And we had a couple weeks there where she was just so feisty and so cute. And Oli, as we've discussed, is socially awkward and is not always kind to other dogs. But he played with Maisie so well. He was a little rough with her, but she could just give it back to him. I mean, she was this like rough and tumble little bowling ball of a dog. And I think if I remember correctly, I think I've like blocked a lot of this out. I think I noticed her, she had, her eye started to bulge and she had what looked like cherry eye. And then a head tilt started and her pneumonia wasn't clearing up. So kept taking her back to the vet. And eventually our worst fear came and she was diagnosed with distemper. And distemper is one of those things that as a dog owner, you probably hear about because you know that your dog gets vaccinated against it. It's like parvo, distemper, there's a couple of them. And it's this, far as I understand, this neurological virus, and it's totally preventable. She had to have been exposed to it somewhere, somehow. And it just took her piece by piece by piece. Her lungs, she never really gained her breathing ability back. And then she started to lose mobility in her hind legs. And then, you know, she stopped, she was eating. That was the best part. She was eating really well for a long time. And so that was a good sign. And I was talking to the girls in China with slaughterhouse survivors because they deal with distemper a lot and they have a lot of success with it. And it was just kind of one of those things where it was like, if you can get her through this step, if you can get her through this step and you're trying to avoid the seizures, you're trying to avoid that. And it's tough because here in the States, or at least in my experience, vets don't really deal with distemper a lot. So every vet was just kind of like, you know, you should put her down, you should put her down. And, you know, this is something that a lot of dog parents go through. Most of us at some point in a dog's life, you start to weigh out, well, can she fight through this? Am I being cruel? Am I giving her a chance? I mean, it was so hard because she was a puppy. It's like, you know, at least with Brulee, I mean, he was 10 by the end. So it's like, okay, you know, you start to have those conversations with yourself and you're like, I'm trying, I'm not, you know, what do? Do I keep going? I think we can, I think there's a little bit more. With Maisie, it was like, we saw that glimmer of who she could be and who she was going to be. And the virus just took her. It just kept eating and eating away. And then we made the appointment. We were going to have a vet come because she literally got to the point where she was losing so much weight. She wasn't drinking water. She wasn't eating. She lost all mobility, front legs, back legs. She couldn't even lift her head anymore. Yeah, and at that point, you're like, I can't do this. So we made the appointment for a service to come to the house. And I went to bed that night and I told her, Maze, like, if you eat in the morning, if you eat, I'm going to call off this appointment. I just need you to eat, like, give this a little bit longer. If you tell me you have a little bit of fight in you, I will call off this appointment. So woke up in the morning and I had like mixed a bunch of broth together and I was giving it to her in a syringe and she took a whole bowl down. She took that bowl down, licked it, slobbered it up.
I remember that story.
Yeah. I called off the appointment. I called the service and I was like, don't come. This dog has fight in her. And that night she passed away in my arms naturally. I noticed her gums were starting to go, like the pale gums. She was labored breathing and I just held her and I said, come back when you're ready. This was not the body for you. My boyfriend thinks I'm crazy. He doesn't feel like... that. But that's how I felt. I just like, okay, baby girl, this was not the best go around. So
I think
you go find Brew and come back.
I think it it's a testament to so much though. And I love that you called it off, and like, I think deep down, you know, but I love that it was with you. It was on her terms. Like, I mean, you called her a bowling ball, and I feel like she was absolutely till the end. And I remember telling my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, I remember you were posting stories and you're like, she's eating. She downed the whole food. And I was like, she's coming back. She was so stinking cute. Like, this dog, oh my, I'm not even necessarily attracted to the bulldogs, but oh my God, this dog was so freaking cute. And I was so invested in this story. And I think we were driving somewhere because I was like, and he almost crashed. He's like, what the hell is your problem? And I was like, she ate. Maisie ate. And he's like, I'm sorry, who? But
you're like, just some dog on Instagram.
I think it's just so inspiring to take a little girl like that and to really stand by her and to give her the opportunity to do it on her own time too. And I think that we've all been there. We've all had to make those tough calls. And we did a Q&A over the weekend, last weekend, and somebody had asked me, everybody always asks me, what's the best part about being a dog mom and the worst part about being a dog mom? And the simple fact is, the worst part is that they just don't live long enough. It doesn't matter if it's a couple months or 20 years. It's just, it's not enough. If I had a perfect world, all of my dogs would outlive me.
Oh, 100%.
Of old age. I don't want to like,
train.
But,
well, the hard part too with Maisie is that, you know, she was a Merle English Bulldog. And I kind of said this earlier, like, please, people, stop breeding Merle bulldogs. Merle is a mutation to begin with. Yep. It's not meant to be in the bulldog family. And unfortunately, they're so freaking cute. Maisie was, I mean, she was like a little snow leopard.
Yeah.
The cutest coloring, the cutest blue eyes. And so, yeah, it's hard to look at that and be like, I don't want that. I don't blame people that want that, that go seek that out and go for breeders and find a dog on Craigslist. Cause you're like, I mean, I did. I'm like, yes, I'll take her.
But the more people that want them, the more they're going to try to mutate to get that. And yeah, I think there are only a few different types of breeds where Merle is not really catastrophic. The first one that comes to mind is Aussies, but we looked into fostering a Merle Dane who was like all white, bright blue eyes, and blind as a bat, blind and deaf.
So Aussies, you know, you can't breed a Merle with a Merle because you'll get a double Merle and they're blind or they're deaf. And it's like, no, please stop.
Yeah. And that is one of those areas that is completely preventable. And that I feel like if you come across a breeder that's breeding the double, that's how you know they're not a reputable breeder and just find somewhere else.
Anytime you hear or see rare colors, specialty, question that. And this is one thing I want to say too, because I would hear this a lot and people have told me this a lot. Ask, you know, find the right breeder, ask the right questions, which is fine, except what are the right questions and what's the right answer? Like, that's actually the more important advice to give, right? Because you can tell people, ask the right questions. So ask them, where's the mom, where's the dad? And no, it's not a good thing if they own both the mom and the dad typically, and they are just breeding that same pair over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, you want typically the breeder to own the mom and to, I don't know, outsource. I don't know what the right word is, or at least have an explanation or to have a bigger multiples. Gene pool.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and how often are you breeding? No, you don't want to be breeding a dog every year. Would you want to be pregnant every year? I sure wouldn't. Like,
right.
You know, and trust your gut. Do not, if you're buying a dog off Craigslist, you know, because somebody's like, oh, rare color specialty, and they're just, you know, $5,000. Run, people, run. That's not what you want.
Yeah, a rare color is not something to specialize in. It's an anomaly, right? I mean, it's amazing if it happens and they're super cute, but that's not something that you should be hoping for all the time when you're breeding your dogs.
Go ahead. that the blue coloring, especially with bulldogs, I know is super controversial because it's not recognized by the AKC, and that's why that, you know, people say it's bad. Well, then there's that question of like, well, what is the AKC really? And what,
yeah,
for me, I think it's less necessarily about the color, unless it's something like Merle, where you just know that that's not great in specific breeds. But if, yeah, if it's the blue coloring or the gray or whatnot, just talk to the breeder. How do they get that color? Why are they getting that color? How often are they breeding that color? That I think is more important than necessarily like the AKC standard.
Yeah.
Especially like, I get it. You're not going to show your, most people don't show their dog. So you're not trying to get a show dog, but still, yeah, just do your research for the breed that you're interested in and figure out how they're getting that, especially if you're just going for color. And back to Maisie real quick. One of the things I question a lot was, yes, okay, she had distemper, but did she also have some sort of neurological issue?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she was only 13 weeks by the time that she died. Yeah. Rare color, rare eyesight. Like, could that have been more?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because and this is a weird, super out of left field comparison to make, but people get really hung up on patterns and color and eye color. And that's something that, and don't ask me how I know this, but in the reptile community, I believe it is a spider ball python. It's a certain combination that gives the snake a certain pattern. And they are notorious for being born. It's a mutation. They're not supposed to exist, but snake breeders have bred and bred and bred, and these snakes tilt. They literally actually tilt, and they twist, and they can't, because they have a neurological deficit. And it's horrid, horrid, horrid to watch. And I think there's some bizarre statistic where very few of them don't have that tilt, or, you know, if they do have it, it's very minimal. But why? But when you were telling me that she had that tilt, I was like, oh, that's bizarre, because the spider ball pythons, I believe too, are, I think, historically lighter, which is strange.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was related.
I do not have a snake. I will never have a snake. they're very interesting to me. I know it's a strange comparison, but.
No, but it's, I think I wouldn't be surprised if there is some connection. I mean, it's hard. It was hard even when I had Maisie, and before she got super sick, and we were deciding whether or not we want to keep her or not. I mean, of course we were going to keep her. We fell in love with her from the moment we picked her up. But, you know, you do question, okay, I have this platform. How can I say, well, I'm allowed to have this adorable, cool Merle colored dog, but you don't, but I'm okay because I rescued it. It's a weird, it's a tough, you know, yeah. It's so, I think that's why I find myself apologizing a lot, because, or just justifying a lot. Cause I recognize that I'm just as guilty of it too. I see somebody else have something super cute. Well, I want that.
Oh, that's me.
And I have, you know, I have a lot of friends that have tried to rescue dogs, and rescuing can be difficult, especially in the pandemic. You know, rescues all of a sudden are competitive. And I have friends that are going on meet and greets and not getting the dog, and you get discouraged. And I totally understand being like, well, forget this. I'm just going to go buy one.
That was us. It took us like 3 different dogs to get Tova. And I mean, we're talking like we were trying to rescue a dog from Russia. And there was a waiting list, and it was a whole thing. And it's crazy.
I think what people really need to understand in the rescue world, if you are willing to take a pit bull or a chihuahua, it will be much easier. If you want a purebred French bulldog and you think that you are the only one out there that is willing to rescue a purebred, it's going to take time. Yeah. It's going to take time. It's going to be frustrating. I encourage you not to give up. I encourage you to keep putting in those applications. Diversifying, apply to 10 different rescues. And just know that the right dog will come. But no, it's not like, it's like a myth that you're like, I want to rescue a dog, and then you're going to rescue one tomorrow. Unless you're willing to go to a shelter and get, you know, a pit bull.
Well, and I love that too. I love that they are doing meet and greets for dogs, because that means they're vetting people a little bit more seriously. They're finding out, is this family going to be the best family for this dog? It's happened to us. it happened to us where we would, you know, we'd have conversations with people on the phone and we wouldn't get callbacks and I would get furious. And Nico's like, well, maybe they found a better match. Why are you upset about this? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still bitter about certain dogs, but
totally. Like, you're like how dare you? Do you know I am the best dog mom ever?
There was one from a rescue that I'm not going to name. She was a senior pit bull who had skin condition, docked ears. It took me months to even convince Nico because we were technically not allowed to have pit bulls where we live, but I could not care less. And finally convinced him that this was the dog for me. I dreamt about
this
dog.
She was a lab mix, right? She was a lab mix.
She's my emotional support animal. So yes. It doesn't matter what she is. No, but she like just sweet, sweet, sweet old dog. And they said that they wanted her to go to a home with another dog, preferably no stairs because she was very senior. And like that was us. It was perfect. And I finally got to call and they go, oh, you know, you're up with one other person. This dog had been in the shelter for like 10 months. They go, you're up with one other person, and they gave her to somebody else. And I'm still to this day. I went so far. I lurked the person they gave her to. And I'm just like, this person has no other dogs. This person does not live in a, this person has a three-story apartment or a three-story like penthouse condo thing. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have to wonder. Yeah. Maybe they made a hefty donation to the rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something along those lines, but just, yeah. So, but to my point being, she has a wonderful, happy life, and we now have Tova. So for those of you that are listening that do get discouraged, just like Michelle was saying, hold out hope. You're going to find your perfect match because things are just going to align the way that they should. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yes, you will. You 100%. Will. And you are a good person because you want to rescue, and you will get, you know, quote unquote rewarded for that. You might not get it tomorrow. You might have your heart broken a couple times along the way, but you will get that dog. It might take a little bit longer than you're willing to wait or that you think you're willing to wait, but I promise you it's worth the wait.
It's like just waiting for your significant other.
Totally.
Same idea.
The other thing now is because I've now been involved in rescue a little bit, and like I mentioned my sister, it is funny what people will put on an application. Like I had a friend that applied for a dog recently. And, you know, on a lot of foster applications, it says like, what are some reasons you would give up the dog? And like that, none. What they're looking for is for you to say none.
Yeah.
Yeah. And said friend wrote, basically checked off the boxes. Like if the dog barks too much, if the dog's not potty trained, which, you know, she meant after 6 months, if the dog is a barking problem, I'm about to get kicked out of my apartment, I would probably have to rehome the dog.
Yeah.
But that's not
what they want to hear.
Yeah. And that's also not when they're going through applications. So it's like, think about what you're writing, people. Or another one is how long will the dog be left home alone? I can't tell you how many applications I've read that they're like 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day. I'll crate the dog when I'm gone.
Lovely.
No, that's not. You need to get a cat.
Right. I'm trying to remember what I put on the application for Tova for what, like, when would you give up the dog? Because I remember they laughed about it because I think I had said something like I'll get rid of my fiance before I get rid of my dog. Like, it's not happening. So, and I mean, it worked.
Weird. You got the dog.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that is definitely one myth.
For our listeners who, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I think that's the myth about rescuing is that it's easy and seamless once you decide. And it's not. It has to be a perfect match, and it takes a little bit of work on your end.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, for our listeners who want to start or look into fostering a dog, where can they go?
I definitely would encourage wherever you live, look up your local rescue. It's okay if you want to start with your breed of choice, you know? Like we've talked about, we all kind of gravitate towards our favorite breeds. So contact your local rescues, contact your local shelters, fill out that foster application. One thing that I do when I can't foster because of my work schedule or it's just not a good time, like, you know, we just have family stuff going on and it's just too hard to take in a foster. Sometimes we'll volunteer as a transport. So some dogs came in to LA and they had a foster lined up in Northern California. And my boyfriend and I just decided to make a weekend trip out of it. And we drove these pugs up to Northern California and dropped them off. And depending on the rescue, they'll pay for your gas, or they'll pay for the food. And then that way you're kind of in the system, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like a rescue knows that they can depend on you. And a lot of rescues will have like foster listserv. So I'll get an email, you know, every couple of days, hey, we're looking for a foster for this dog and can't take it. You don't respond. If you can, you jump right in and you say yes. So I think there's so many different ways that you can kind of get involved in the dog rescue world that don't necessarily mean opening your home to 8 special needs dogs.
Yeah.
Right. Ashley.
I only have 2. Bjorn is just mentally challenged. I don't know if he's special needs. He might be.
He's special.
All of our dogs are a little special. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's my favorite thing to do is just stay involved. Like sometimes they need dogs that just, or a friend of mine used to do, when the foster parent, you know, would have to leave town for a couple weeks, you could be the foster for the foster. So you take a dog for a weekend. Yeah. There's so many different ways. Or I was writing the bios for the dogs for a while for road dogs. You know, if you're into creative writing or if you have great web experience, I mean, rescues mostly just need their name out there. They want to generate money. They want to do fundraisers.
Or so even photography, I feel like. Sometimes rescues, the rescue photos are terrible. And you see the dog in person and you're like,
you're the cutest thing ever.
Fucking cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Contact your local shelter. Tell them you'll come in. You'll take photos of the dogs. You'll update their bios for them. There's just so many ways to get involved that you don't even, I didn't know until I was kind of immersed in the world.
Well, thank you so, so much for coming on and chatting with us. I feel like it was one of those wonderful conversations that veer all over the place, but
I told you I could talk about dogs all day. So
can we.
Hit me if you have any other questions or if you want to know about TV producing, I could talk about that too.
Yeah. Well, you can check out Michelle Oli and #BrewCrew on Instagram @Brewly. So I definitely recommend checking her out. The dog content is phenomenal.
So I have one little thing to say that kind of is happening today. So I shouldn't say it.
Oh.
But I think I'm willing to drop it.
I
think we're getting a new foster this weekend.
How exciting. Do you have details? We will probably not air this episode until what? I don't know if Grant's even going to be able to edit it. Week. It'll probably go next week. So,
okay.
If you want to share the details, I'm down.
I don't know. You might have to cut this out if it doesn't happen.
Okay.
But I'll say this. I told Maisie to come back to me when she was ready. And I'm not saying this is Maisie coming back. However, you'll see when I get the dog, if it comes through, you know, a lot has to happen. The dog is not in California right now. It needs to be transported in. I feel like this might be Maisie saying hello in a certain way.
Oh, you gave me chills. You gave me chills. I'm so excited.
You'll have to cut this out if it doesn't wind up happening. But yes, you know, after Maisie passed away in the summer and we've taken a break of fostering, we just decided, you know, we needed to heal for a minute. And as of yesterday, we said yes. So we have a new little guy. He's a little boy. So we'll see.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We had a really, really great time talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And fingers crossed for the new pup.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Gosh, I know. Hopefully by the time this airs, there will be many pictures of a cute new puppy. It took a minute. It took a minute to say yes. Again, you know, the Maisie situation really kind of took a number out on us. It was tough. She was a tough one to lose. Yeah. So, but I could talk to you guys all day. I could talk to fellow women. You guys are amazing and incredible. And we genuinely love your toys and we are big fans of you guys as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise. Thank you. We'll have to have you back for part 2.
Definitely.
maybe in person, and it can involve like margaritas and actual, like, you know, social interaction with people.
Twist my arm. Let's get that
vaccine. Consider my arm twisted.
Right? Yeah. Or I'll just show up in a mask and I'll just sit 6 feet away and drink my marg next to you guys.
Done.
All right. Well, I'll also email you the cover that we made for this episode. We had our illustrator come up with something really, really cute. So we'll share that with you, as well as any other content. If you want to share it, we'll make sure that you have access to that too.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah. And if you guys ever need any help, there's anything I can assist you with or put you in contact with anyone on my end, or yeah, if you ever want to do, I mean, I love doing stuff like that, like this. I'm promoting dogs. So count me in for any sort of publicity on your end or anything you guys need help with.
That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Love it.
Bye.
Bye, guys.